Hello and welcome to the Be Unapologetically You radio podcast, where we talk about all things personal development, health and wellness, and of course, fitness, and how you can do all those things to create a lifestyle that works for you and not your next door neighbor. Because nobody else was made like you, and so why would you do the same thing as somebody else unless it works for you? So thank you so much for joining us today, and let's get started into the episode.
Hey folks, welcome back to the podcast today. I am so excited for y'all to meet my friend Jules today. Jules and I met at a Tribe Called Bliss book event Lori Harder put on in Austin, Texas last year. She's a certified life coach, also a certified trainer for life coaches, and is a growth getaway retreat host and also the co-founder of the women's community Roots That Rise. Her mission is to help women tune out the excessive noise and rediscover how they can be their own trustworthy guides. She's equally as passionate about connection and creating space for women who long for meaningful relationships that create more friendship instead of acquaintances. And I am so excited for y'all to get to listen to this podcast today. Please excuse the dogs and the postman. This is quarantine life, so this is just reality, but I hope you guys really enjoy this conversation we have about relationships, but most importantly, the relationship we have with ourselves. Enjoy.
Hi, Miss Julie. Welcome to the podcast on Being Apologetically You Radio. We are so excited to have you today.
Thank you so much for having me. I'm actually very excited to be here.
So Miss Julie and I have been friends. I would say we've been friends for over a year now. Am I correct? We met at Lori Harder's A Tribe Called Bliss book event that she had in Austin.
Yeah, and I was just going to argue with you. I was like, that was like 5 years ago, but you're right. It was like a year and a few months ago.
But it definitely feels that long. So if that tells you the nature of our relationship. So I'm so excited to have this conversation with you today and share it with the audience. We were just talking briefly before we were pressing record, and I was like kicking myself I didn't press record earlier, because even just the episode chatter was so good. So Miss Julie, why don't you take it from here and tell the audience a little bit about yourself?
Sure. So my name's Jules. I got into life coaching over a couple of years ago, and then I was working under somebody else's company, and I became the lead coach there and also was certified to train other life coaches. And I started doing retreats as well. I led 2 retreats, one in Cabo last year, one in Austin. And then this year started, in addition to coaching, which I now do solo, I started a community with a friend of mine, Natalie. It's called Roots That Rise. It's a community for women, and it's a supportive community for women and built around connection. So that's sort of a dabble of what I do. I always have a hard time saying this part, because I think that I have a hard time sort of boiling it down to one thing that makes sense. But what I'll say is that I love working with people who have stopped trusting themselves.
Okay.
And there's really 3 spaces. I love people who stopped trusting themselves, who stopped trusting other people, and who stopped trusting in their higher power.
Oh, we're definitely going to come back to that. One thing I want you to share with the audience is a little bit about how you got to where you are today. You've provided me some insight onto your own story, but I would love for you to share a little deeper into your background to how you got to life coaching.
Absolutely. Yeah. And I appreciate you kind of creating the space for that, because often when people ask, I don't really tell them the whole story. I just say it was a journey. And the truth is that I was in a corporate job. I was, graduated from school, and I was in a corporate job. And I really felt something missing in me. And one of those things was I was really missing like the sense of confidence. And I decided to pursue muscle mania, because I just always admired those really strong women, like the bikini and fitness models in magazines. And I thought, you know what, that they look confident. They look fulfilled. They look happy. They look like what I want to look like, And I thought that if I did that, then I was going to feel really good about myself. Just a little layer underneath that, I was bullied a lot when I was growing up for being ugly and weird. So I grew up with, just not really having that sense of confidence in myself and my external at all. So 2013, I competed in Musclemania. I competed in the bikini and the model divisions. And I found myself on stage and I was shocked. I remember this moment because I'm up on stage. I had done 20 weeks of training. I had done all the meals. I had, you know, counted out 7 almonds and measured my half cup of egg whites and, you know, all of the things to a T. I was going to the gym 6 days a week, sometimes 7, sometimes twice a day, often twice a day. So I was working out hard. And, you know, finally got to that stage and I was on stage and the, what's his name? The MC, you know, was saying some boring things about me. I remember he, and Benny and the Jets was playing, and that's not a sexy song to walk to at all, by the way. So please go try that after this. but I was walking on stage. I was doing my poses and I was trying to plant my heel in this one pose and my heel was just bouncing and I couldn't plant it. And I remember thinking in that moment that all of that lack of confidence was still with me, that even though I was in the bikini, I had the tan, I had the abs, I was the strongest, the most fit I'd ever been in my life. I was those girls I wanted to be, but I wasn't. I mean, I was my own version. I brought all of that baggage, that those sort of like the ghosts of those memories of taunting and not feeling good enough about who I was with me. And so there I was on stage and I was crumbling, you know, inside at that time while I was smiling for everybody and trying to make myself look like this sexy little bikini girl. Mm-hmm. And in that moment, I realized that the external was never going to fulfill the internal.
Exactly. It was your aha moment of, I still have to work on me, not just the outside, but the inside version of me as well.
Yeah. Man. Yeah. And so that really brought me more to, it was sort of the catalyst, I think, for me getting on the path for life coaching, because in that place, I realized that this had nothing to do with my abs, my looks, you know, how, whether I fit in a bikini or not, and what people thought of me. It was only going to be what I thought of myself and whether I loved myself, because no trophies, no accolades, no Facebook likes, no Instagram likes, nothing was going to lift me up if I couldn't do that for myself.
Exactly. So let's kind of branch off into that a little bit. What are some things that you, looking back now at that situation, what would have you have done to help yourself become more of what you wanted to become, or what you had envisioned would have been the result of that, I guess would be the what I'm trying to say. So that way you would feel confident in yourself, and it may take several points to get there, but let's definitely dive into it.
Yeah, no, absolutely. I'm wandering down that road in my mind. Well, okay. So, I mean, the first thing that came to mind was that helped me to start that practice. And so I've learned a lot of things since then. So if I were to go back, I think I remember that I wouldn't even see the mind, or I'm sorry, see the mind. That's interesting. I wouldn't even see the show in my mind. You know, I remember just sort of blocking out that day, and I would just not even like prepare myself to be on stage because I was so afraid to think about it. And so I think that's a really big clue right there, is being comfortable in my own body. That would have been something that would have helped immensely. Which is something that, you know, I know people hear about all the time now in terms of like meditation, getting grounded, you know, exercising to be in your body, not in your head, if that makes sense. So one thing would have been to like get still, to be present, and to like start giving myself more love and more attention. And I'm trying to think of a more practical thing
for you. So let's kind of break that down.
because for me, I understand what you're saying, but somebody on the other side may not. What do you mean by be still, be present, and show yourself love? Could you elaborate on those three things? Like, even just like in the simplest way they could be, and yes, we can go from there.
Yes. Yes. Mm-hmm. Yeah, absolutely. So one thing that I've observed and learned, and something that I teach women that I work with in this space, I work with men too, but for this particular course that I've done, it's acknowledging yourself in a way that we usually brush past. And what I mean by that is, oftentimes, you know, we especially as women, we spend time in the mirror. We have to, or we choose to, rather, to groom ourselves, you know, put on makeup, even if it's just brushing your teeth, right? You're in front of a mirror. And we see ourselves, but we're not really looking like into ourselves. And we're not really accepting ourselves. Oftentimes we are sort of looking past ourselves, we're distracted, or we'll see parts of ourselves that we're criticizing, right? And we'll start to pick the parts that we don't like about ourselves. So we see it right back and we say, oh, I need to lose weight, or oh, I look terrible today, or God, I'm breaking out, or why is my face so red today, or why do I have bags, right? And we can pick apart all of these things that are reflecting back to us that we don't love, instead of really looking into ourselves and being with ourselves and acknowledging ourselves on an internal level. So in my course, I had each of the women go within the privacy of their own home and do a mirror exercise naked. So they were to stand in front of the mirror and to get comfortable, like really stand in front of the mirror and breathe. Start by just breathing, seeing what you see and breathing through it, instead of letting yourself like cringe, turn away, sabotage, slow down those thoughts. You know, just start to like settle into your body and get comfortable with who you are and what you have and where you're at.
Gotcha.
And give up. I had them start to recognize and acknowledge, instead of those places that they usually want to like turn away from or not see in the mirror, or that they want to say terrible things to. I had them give love to those spaces. So literally they would say, you know, they would like touch their thigh and say, I love my thighs. I feel good in my thighs. My thighs support me.
Gotcha. Like, okay. So that's definitely something that we can implement. And it's something that you may have to do multiple times in order to start to be able to feel comfortable in it. But honestly, most things that we need in our life make us uncomfortable, is what I've learned.
Yeah. And I love that you said that too. Absolutely. Doing it multiple times, because this is a long-term relationship that you have with yourself, and you've spent how many years, or how long self-sabotaging and saying what's not right. So of course it's not just going to be a one-time experience where you're like, okay, I love myself, now I should feel better.
Yeah. It's not a one-time thing.
Yeah.
Gotcha. And that really spurs another question. It's something you said at the start of this podcast, just before we pressed record, the fact that people don't have trust in themselves, or they break promises to themselves. And I'd really like to dive into that and how we can start to build trust within our own bodies, because we see that in the health industry a ton, but that belief, or that limiting belief, I should say, permeates to other aspects of their life because they don't trust themselves.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Absolutely. And I want to sort of peel that back just to the step that you and I were discussing relationships in general. And in order to feel that love and safety in a relationship, we have to have trust and respect present. And that's with any relationship. And especially, you know, with ourselves, people don't often think about this, but in order to feel that love and that safety within ourselves, we have to create trust and respect. And we often do things in life that go against our own trust and respect. So an example is, as I was sharing, an example is that, you know, in a relationship, or I'm sorry, think about somebody you've let into your life, maybe, and maybe you knew that this person was manipulative, or this person was taking advantage of you, or this person said hurtful things to you and you allowed them to stick around, or, you know, you were dating somebody that you just knew was not the person for you. There's things that we do where we see these red flags and we still allow these people to remain in our lives until they hit a certain place and we say, okay, you're gone. Or something happens, right? Maybe they remove themselves from our lives. But what we're left with is this lingering distrust. It's like within ourselves, because we say, I knew that person was not good for me. Or I knew she was a backstabber. I knew that she was only hanging around with me because X, Y, and Z, right? Or I knew that guy was no good and he turned out to be, you know, an alcoholic or something like that.
And I think we see this in the health industry in the sense of like, I know what I'm supposed to be doing, but I don't do it anyway, kind of thing. And it's reminding people that we all started somewhere and that it's taking those small, small steps and building up on that victory. I don't expect any of my clients, I never have, to go from, I have never lifted a weight in my entire life to lifting 6 days a week. Like, that is just completely unrealistic. It's more important for me to help them find the victories that they can do right then today, which is drinking a little bit more water, moving their body, just like going for a walk and believing that they can make time for it. Because we all have the same 24 hours. It's the fact that you have to say yes to something that is slightly outside of your comfort zone right now. That doesn't mean it will forever be that way. No, that doesn't mean it's going to be comfortable all the time. Don't get me wrong there. I have been lifting working out, I should say, I'm almost 30. So I have to sit here and think about it in my head. I've been lifting or working out for 15 years. And I still have those days I don't want to do this to this day, but I do it anyway because I know the outcome at the end is worth it versus my discomfort right now.
Yeah. And I think you're making a really good point about something, which is that, you know, there's so many opportunities I think that we have in life where we say, oh, I really want to do this. I want to pursue this, or I want to meet this goal, or New Year's resolutions. Hello, every year, where we kind of set this bar, we see something that we want to achieve and then we don't hit it. And so that creates also this feeling in ourselves of like, well, do I even trust myself to do this? Do I trust myself to take care of myself? Do I trust myself to see this through?
Exactly. What would you recommend as some ways to help them build trust in themselves, starting at the very smallest level and kind of go up from there? So if the example I gave for like health and wellness is just getting up and going for like a walk. Right. What would you suggest, or what could you build upon that?
Yeah. So first of all, I would say, think about the relationship you have with yourself, like the relationship that you have or would have with a best friend. And if you and your best friend got into an argument, you got into a fight, if he or she said something to you that just made you feel absolutely like closed up, you know, you put the walls up, or you don't trust this person, or she disrespected you, whatever that looks like. In order to continue the relationship, the first thing you would have to do is come together and forgive her or him, right? You have to start with forgiveness. You have to recognize that this was an experience, this was an event, this was something, and that this, you're not going to carry that with you going forward every day for the rest of your life and turn around and say, but do you remember when you said this to me? Because how, you know, that wouldn't be the best kind of best friend relationship. And so it's the same thing with you. With ourselves, we remember all those little things and we hold them against ourselves, right? We can condemn ourselves for life. Oh, I'm just not that person because I failed at a diet, or I failed at 15 diets, or I didn't quit smoking, or I said I was going to run that 5K, but I'm not even getting up and walking. Right? We can condemn ourselves at that level. We can hold ourselves there and just say, oh, well, I guess I'm that kind of person. And that's just an excuse that we can perpetuate for life. And it doesn't feel good. And it's not true. So I always say, start with forgiveness. Start with recognizing, look, I didn't end up doing that 5K that I didn't want to do. Or I didn't end up drinking, and actually I didn't drink all my water, or I didn't finish the 30 day, the whole 30, right? There's all kinds of things that we want to do and we don't necessarily see them through. And we have to say, okay, I didn't, and I can still try again.
Gotcha. So we start with forgiveness. What would you say the next step would be after forgiveness?
Starting to find, like, take action. And I think what's helped for me is really recognizing it as a growing opportunity. Like, right? Like, I read the mindset book, Carol Dweck's book, Mindset. So she talks about a fixed mindset and a growth mindset. And the fixed mindset is really like pass fail. It's like, these are the things that are in my wheelhouse. And these are the things I'm going to go for because I know I can succeed at them. Right. And there's a whole lot more to it than that. But that was me. I was like, oh, I'm great at writing. I'm great at spelling. I'm great with language, French, you know, all that kind of stuff. Great with strength. And those are the things I'll go for because I know I'm not going to fail. But the growth mindset sees things as more of an opportunity. I might not get this right on the first try, but I'm going to have iterations. I can try again. I'm going to keep trying until I, like, it's an evolving process until I get that outcome.
Exactly. And not taking no as an answer in the sense of like, okay, if this is not a no, this is a lesson that I can learn about how this may work for me now or not work for me now. Because I think we have this belief that once you get to success, whether it's in health and wellness or mental or business, that once you're there, you get to keep it. Mm-hmm. And it's not the case. You are having to work for that every day along the journey, because what worked day one does not work now. A great example of this is a saying I learned a while back, which was new level, new devil. And at every level of success or your journey, there's another challenge you have to overcome and that you have to grow into and learn from.
Yeah. Actually, I can speak to that even for myself with fitness. Like you said, after working out for 20 weeks in a row and thinking, you know, that I was going to get to a point that I would just like naturally want to go to the gym and stay fit. Well, that didn't happen. There was never a day that I was like, oh, cool, it's Tuesday, I can't wait to go work out today. I was like, oh, God, I have to go back to the gym twice today, you know?
Now, that may be different now because I'm like, please get me out of this house. I'm losing my mind. I don't care. I'll scrub the floors, the mirrors. I don't care. Let me go to the gym.
Yeah, absolutely. No, and I think it's about developing that relationship. But going back to it, it's so if you're – if you're somebody who wants to lose the weight and you are like, well, I've tried 15 ways, I need to stop now. That's not a par. You don't stop. You keep going and find what works for you. You take evidence of what wasn't fitting for you, what wasn't honoring for you, what you didn't like, and you take what you want, you leave the rest, and you move on, and you keep going. You know, there's so much out there that we can try, that we can adapt. And I think that this really ties back to that relationship with yourself, because that's what it is. You're finding out, what do I want? What works for me? This doesn't have to be this like blanket, you know, one size fits all routine. You have to do it this way. You've got to take what you love and honor that and move forward with that. And that's how you build a successful relationship and I think health routine with yourself.
I agree. And I think something else that I always try to remind my clients is that, yes, we have to find what works for you, but that doesn't mean it goes without effort. You have to put effort in order for it to work. So for example, I saw a meme the other day that you've tried all these diets, yet tracking your food seems to be too much work. Or you're telling me you've tried all these things, yet you've never tried tracking your food or macros and I'm like, okay, that is not an excuse that you've tried everything that doesn't work for me. You are refusing to acknowledge that there may be another solution for you. It just may require more work and for you to learn a new skill set and to acknowledge that this is going to take work and I'm actually going to have to try for this to succeed. So I choose not to even try at the same time. And same thing with the gym. Like, some people are like CrossFit or nothing. And I'm like, no, there's way more options besides CrossFit. There's yoga, Pilates, Olympic weightlifting. There's traditional bodybuilding. I mean, there's so many different options, but I think that we get frustrated, but then we're like, you know, instead of me having to actually figure this out, I'm just going to stop right here and just stay here.
Mm-hmm. And that's funny, because that reminded me that, you know, we all have this inner critic, that mind that says you can't, you're not good enough, all the things, right? But that inner critic can also be really nice, and it can let us off the hook, just like you're saying, where we can be like, oh, you don't have to go. You've tried. You've done everything. This just doesn't work for you. Mm-hmm. You stay here. Just do something gentle, you know. And there's a difference between, like, you know, doing something that's honoring for you and then just letting yourself off the hook. And so, of course, there's going to be days where, you know, you need to have something that's more light. Sure. And you're not going to grow if you don't meet resistance.
Exactly. And resistance is needed to grow.
Yeah.
Okay. So after that all being said, how would you recommend starting to build respect with ourselves? Because trust is one aspect of that piece, but there's respect in the other aspect of that piece that you were telling me earlier. So how would you recommend, or what are some processes that people can do to respect themselves?
Yeah, so I think the first thing to do, and you can do this actually with both sides of the coin, so you can do this with the trust side too. I think it's important to sit down and to write out, you know, give yourself like a T-chart or a column, make a list of ways that you currently distrust yourself and ways that you currently disrespect yourself. What are things that you're doing, that you're allowing, that you're perpetuating, that feel disrespectful? Is that, you know, is that have something to do with your boundaries, with what you're allowing for your time? Maybe you're taking care of everybody else. You're not taking care of yourself. Maybe you feel disrespectful that that you said you wanted to go walk 3 times this week and you didn't get out of the house. And that feels like you're not taking care of yourself. I think it can look different for people, right? Another could be maybe you're perpetuating in this job, right? We disrespect ourselves by being in this job and allowing somebody to treat us poorly. And that feels disrespectful because we're allowing ourselves to stay there. So I think it's important to create your own inventory and become aware of all of those things that you're allowing right now, so that you know from there what you can start to clean up.
Gotcha. So could be some ways for them to start to find those things. The two that immediately come to mind for me is journaling. And I do voice journaling, I guess is the way, or a voice memo, where I just kind of turn on my voice recorder and I just talk it through without any interruptions, just like you would if you're writing. I find those to be the best way for me to really get there. But I actually have to make sure that I set like a timer for how long I'm going to do it. Because if I do it for 5 minutes, I don't ever go deep enough. I have to go at least 15 or 20 minutes to really get somewhere, I've noticed.
Mm-hmm. I think those are both great. And I was going to add that, you know, some people find more inspiration through movement. So walking and recording, even if it's walking around your house and putting the voice memo on, you know, you can record yourself and you'll feel things drop in, right? Writing is great as well. Another way is talking with somebody as a sounding board, somebody that you really trust, or a coach. And that's, you know, that's what I do with people is I sit with them and I draw things out of them and I reflect things back to them. And I can hear, things that, you know, you might want to sort of brush past or not acknowledge. In fact, I had that with a client that I was working with yesterday who, presented, oh, I think the problem is this. But when I'm listening to her, I said, oh, that's interesting. Because what I'm hearing is that there's some resistance in this area. It sounds like there's some avoidance. So having a sounding board, whether that's a coach or a really good friend or a sister or somebody that you trust who can reflect things back to you, I think that's another great way.
Definitely. And especially for however you process things, I think it's important to take time to really learn how you process things. Women tend to be very verbal processors, and men tend to be very movement or internal processors. I have noticed. So just making sure that you're aware of how you process best, but also whoever you're interacting with, making sure you're taking time to realize how they process, because sometimes we're like, okay, come on, let's talk through this. And the person you're trying to talk through this with is like, I don't want to talk. I just want to walk and let you word vomit on me kind of thing.
Right. Absolutely. No, that's true. So if you are going to enroll somebody to participate with you, you definitely want it to be somebody who understands that, who understands what kind of what you need and can be a sounding board and not a fixer.
Definitely.
I had one more brilliant idea pop through, but it just left my brain. So
that's okay. It'll come back to you, I have no doubt. So one thing I wanted to touch on with you is the fact that some people are not engaging in self-care because mm-hmm. they don't believe the outcome it'll bring onto them. And I'd really like to highlight the importance of how that ties into building trust and respect for ourselves, but also how those results perpetuate either a good or negative outcome.
Mm-hmm. And I think self-care is something that we hear so much. I mean, especially in the past few years, self-care, self-care all over. So for me, I'd love to kind of bounce that back to you and ask, what is your definition of self-care? What do you mean by that?
So for me, self-care is a form of self-respect. So mm-hmm. what am I doing to make sure that I am working my body, like my body's doing what I want to do every day? I have the ability to think clearly. I have the ability to move clearly. I have the ability to live my lifestyle the way that I want. I'm also making sure that I am, so for me, I'm a, what are the ones that take in everybody's energy?
Like an empath.
I'm an empath to like the nth degree. So for me is like making sure that I protect myself from that and really fill my cup. So for me, self-care is not just I eat greens, I drink water, I work out. It's the form of what am I doing to make sure that I am the best person I can be every day and tweaking that based on the day that I need as well too.
Yeah. So this is a great question because when people don't trust themselves, one sign of that or side effect is putting themselves last on the totem pole. And so we can say, oh, well, I have to take care of my husband, or I have to take care of my wife or my partner. I have to take care of, for me, my dogs, my kids, my family, my coworkers, my boss, my manager, my neighborhood, my church, my everything. We will find all of the different areas that need to be filled up, and we will look